right? Today we're going to take a little bit of a detour. We're going to go off of the Romans Road, and I'm just going to share what I felt like the Lord laid on my heart to share with you guys today. Kid City kids that are in the room, y'all are the best. Y'all are the best. Oh my goodness. So we've been working on some stuff in Kid City for the ladies who are in the prisons with the Kairos Ministries. And if they didn't do this today, they would be missing 2 weeks of this. And so all the Kid City kids in the room, we have the papers up here and we have your crayons up here. Miss Michaela's going to come up here and hand these out to you. If you want to color and draw the things for the Kairos ladies while I'm speaking, you are welcome to come get those, but you need to come get them now. So come up and get these papers now. She's going to give you two of them. You know that when you're drawing, what you're doing is you're asking the Lord, what will bless these ladies, right? You're going to draw on there something that will bless them. You're going to write on there, God loves you. God forgives you. He sees you. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, you're going to draw and you're going to write them, okay? Listen, y'all listened so good to me back in Kid City. Don't be talking to your neighbors. Don't be tapping on your parents. I know you can make it through this. Color your papers for the ladies and act like you got some sense, okay? You got it? Okay. That's my Miss Bridget moment for a second. Okay. These kids are amazing. I'm just telling you, they're filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. And back in Kid City, we don't just play games. We actually don't play hardly any games. We sit in the presence of the Lord. We listen. We read the Word. And they learn. They learn what the Lord is saying to them. And they are a powerful generation that's being raised up. Okay. Are we ready? I was going to let them get their stuff. Y'all are welcome to sit on the floors. You're welcome to stay up here on the floors as long as you can act like you got some sense, okay? All right. I'm going to go ahead and start. I want to start this morning actually talking about the word kairos. It's a Greek word that's in the New Testament 86 times, and it has to do with time, but not like your clock time, like minutes and hours, years, months. Kairos is more about moments and seasons, right? So one definition that I found said this, Kairos refers to a moment of time when events happen or an appointed time for a special purpose. It's a powerful moment when time stands still and when God interrupts our routine and touches us deeply. Kairos moments often refer to big moments, such as when God's divine providence intersects with a seemingly simple act of obedience offered by his people. So I'm going to give you some practical in the Word. These are some examples of like Kairos moments. Saul, on his way to Damascus, Saul encounters the resurrected Lord. He goes from killing Christians to being a radical Christian because of a holy encounter with God. That's a Kairos moment. Zacchaeus. Jesus calls Zacchaeus down from that tree, and Zacchaeus goes from being a very unkind tax collector to a follower of Jesus and giving his stuff away to the poor. That's a Kairos moment. Mary Magdalene, before she met Jesus, the Bible says that she was possessed and tormented by 7 demons. After she had an encounter with Jesus, she became a sold-out, faithful follower of Jesus. She knew her past, and so did everybody else, and she also knew the complete forgiveness and healing of Jesus. She was saved, healed, and delivered in a moment. That's a Kairos moment. Moses, he had an encounter at the burning bush, and God sent him on a mission to rescue his people and lead them out of bondage. That was a Kairos moment. Another definition that I found said Kairos is sometimes translated season. It's a window of time that requires an intentional, purposeful response. It's a time in which life-shaping decisions are made. Wise people recognize and respond to the Kairos moments. In each of the examples that I mentioned earlier, these people recognized that something different was happening, and they responded with full surrender and obedience to what the Lord was doing. They could have decided to stay the course of their normal lives, and they would have missed their kingdom partnership. Y'all, I don't want to miss it. Just saying. Sometimes in English translations, they use the phrase, "it's the right time," to translate the word kairos. So, for example, John the Baptist, when he's talking about Jesus in Mark 1:15, he says, "the right time is now here. God's kingdom is very near. Change your hearts and lives and believe the good news." John is saying in that verse, it's time for you to believe. Jesus is near. It's time for you to make a change. It's time to believe and receive Jesus as Lord. In 1 Chronicles, this is in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 12:32, there's the sons of Issachar. And the sons of Issachar in the Bible, it says they knew and were able to discern the times and the seasons that so that they would know what to do. So they knew what was happening. As followers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit as our counselor and our helper, we should know the times and the seasons that we're living in. Let's see what Jesus had to say about this. This is in Luke 25, 54 through 56, and it says, "He said to the crowd, 'When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot, and it is.' Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? How is it that you don't know what's happening on the kingdom level? What I'm saying, what I'm doing. Why is that? I believe that there's an expectation for us as followers of Jesus to know what's happening in the kingdom so that we can be a part of it. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kairos time is a beautiful kind of time where God breaks in and changes everything. These moments where our life and our journey can be changed forever with just an encounter from Jesus. All right, so I asked the Lord when I was preparing for this, okay, God, what Kairos moment do you want me to talk about today? And before I start telling you what it is and where we're going, I want you to know you're all going to know this story. You're all going to have heard this story, all of you. But today, I want you to listen and hear what the Lord is saying to your heart. I believe He has a word for every person that is here today. And I believe He has a word for everybody watching online as well. I believe it so strongly that He wants to speak and that there's a specific word this morning. All right, so we're going to pray. And then we're going to go into the Word. Father God, we ask that you open our hearts and our eyes and our ears to receive from you, Jesus. Let us hear you rightly this morning so that we can receive you fully, Father God. We give you these next few minutes, God, and we say, have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, so we're going to go to John 4, 1 through 42. And I'm going to be talking about the Samaritan woman. Are we there? We're going to have some scriptures in just a minute. Not right now, but in a minute. The Pharisees, all the people who knew all the religious stuff, right? The Pharisees, they were causing a ruckus. And so Jesus decided, you know what, I'm just going to keep moving, I'm going to move along. And so he was leaving Judea and he was going to Galilee. And in verse 4, in Luke 1 verse 4, it says, he had to travel through Samaria. That word had there does not mean that he had, like on his path, it had to go that way. What that word actually means is like he was on an assignment because he's all about his Father's business, right? He's doing what the Lord is telling him to do. And it's like, I have to go there. This is something that I need to do. It says he had to travel through Samaria. Well, the thing about that is during that time, the Jews and the Samaritans, they did not get along. So actually, it was very, very odd. Very odd. Jews did not travel through Samaria. They would go around it. They would do everything they could to not encounter each other. They did not get along and they did not get around each other. But Jesus in this text, it says he had to travel through Samaria. Why? Because there was an assignment waiting for him. There was a Kairos moment that was going to happen and he had to go that way. Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and they needed to take a break. And so they stopped at an ancient well that had been put there by Jacob for many, many years ago. Jesus sat down to rest, and then the disciples, they got up and they went off to go find some food for Jesus and for themselves, right? So they're not there anymore. This is where we're going to pick up in verse 7. Verse 7 through 15. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Give me a drink, Jesus said to her, because his disciples had gone into the town to buy food. How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? And she asked him, for Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him and he would give you living water. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. Jesus said, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give him will never get thirsty again. In fact, the water I will give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. This Samaritan lady, she was just going about her normal day. This is what she normally did. She went to go get water. And Jesus decided to show up. And he begins to reveal kingdom truths to her. Now, she didn't understand the kindness of Jesus. You see, she knew she had a background, right? She knew. Ugh. Paul says he sweats, I'm going to cry. It's just how it works. She knew she had a story. She knew she was a Samaritan. She knew she was a woman. Men didn't talk to women back then. She knew that she didn't deserve the kindness from this man, and it kind of confused her. Why would he be taking the time to talk to me? She probably thought. She also did not understand kingdom truths. When he's talking about living water, she's like, where's your bucket, right? She didn't understand he was talking about more than the physical. She didn't understand. The spiritual truths had not been revealed to her yet. She literally, really did not understand. Y'all, there's people today who are fighting for things that are completely wrong because they don't understand kingdom truths. They don't understand. Let's keep reading in verse 16. It says, go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. I don't have a husband, she answered. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said. For you've had five husbands, and the one man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Sir, the woman replied, I see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews say that the place of worship is in Jerusalem. So right here, Jesus starts to get very, very personal with this lady that he had never had an encounter with before, right? He starts to be very personal with her, and he tells her all about her life. But you see, there was no shame in that interaction. She was just fully known, right? You see, Jesus already knows all about us, so there's absolutely no reason to keep Jesus at a distance or to not believe in him. This woman also, she still did not realize that Jesus was the Savior. She didn't realize it. She thought that he was a prophet. So she's like, oh, okay, you're not just a regular man. You might be a prophet. Let me ask you some questions about where to worship. And eventually she says this. Let's read in verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. This was the moment that she believed. This right here was her Kairos moment. Let's keep reading over in verse 28. It says, then the woman left the water jar, went into the town, and told the people, come see the man that told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They left the town and made their way to him. So the moment right after she had this encounter, this revelation, this oh my goodness, Kairos moment, she took off to run to go tell some people, right? She went to tell her town, and the town believed because of her testimony. And they come back to encounter Jesus for themselves. Let's read what it says down in verse 39. Now the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed for 2 days. Many more believed of what he said. And they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, since we have heard for ourselves and know that this really is the Savior of the world. The Samaritan woman had a Kairos moment. Jesus showed up in her normal day. He revealed that he was the Messiah, the one who could save, and she believed. She immediately went to tell the people in the town, and they also believed. We need to be aware of what Jesus is doing and saying in this Kairos season. And I believe he is actively speaking to his people. I also believe he is wanting to encounter not just believers, but also the lost and the hurting, so that he can radically heal their hearts, change their lives, and set them in motion to declare the gospel into their cities and their nations. Isaiah 61 tells us that those who received righteousness, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Once there's an encounter with the Lord, you go and tell, and your testimony will bring the goodness of God to those people in those cities and those nations. We are living in a time where people easily, just so easily, believe the lies of the enemy over the truth of the gospel. Y'all, this is truth. If it doesn't line up with this, we got to say no. I'm just saying, this is truth. The end. That was free. This is truth. Okay, so we are also living in a time where the people desperately, desperately need and want an authentic move of God. They do. They're looking for it in every spiritual thing they can find. They want an authentic move of God. They need to see the power of God and the love of God shown to them personally. And as followers of Jesus, we are carriers of his power and his grace and his love and his mercy and his kindness. We carry that in us. Romans 8:11 says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. If you've said yes to Jesus being your Lord and Savior, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Y'all, that's good. We've got something to offer people, and it's Jesus. Don't rush your personal encounters with the Lord, and don't waste your testimony. Someone's life could be completely changed in a moment. Let me say it like this. Don't let your minutes, your very busy schedules, and your very full calendars, don't let your minutes make you miss your Kairos moments. We are a busy people, and we might need to slow down for a little bit. We get to choose if we're going to respond in the moment. This is how the kingdom is set up. You can miss a Kairos moment. You can miss it. God can be stirring in your hearts, and you can ignore it. You can. Let me read a couple things. Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20 says this. This day I call the heavens and earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is saying there's a choice. Choose life. We get to choose what we do, and we also get to choose how we respond when God moves in a moment. Esther, let's read that a minute. Esther 4:12. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Don't think that because you're in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. It's a choice. Esther had a choice to make. She was going to be a part of what God was doing to bring freedom to the Jews, or she was going to stay stuck in fear and let somebody else do it. That was a choice. I want to point out, just because family screams at me and everything I read in the Bible, I want to point out that both of these that I just read, the choices that you make impact your children and your family. Please hear me clearly. Your choices matter. And I'm not talking about what you eat for breakfast. They matter to you, they matter to your children, and they matter to your family. Jesus is the only way. He is the only choice, the only truth, and the only life. So I'm going to say this again. Don't let your minutes, your very busy schedules, and your full calendars make you miss your Kairos moments. I believe we're going into an accelerated season, and God is wanting to encounter people in radical ways to bring hope, love, deliverance, and salvation to this hurting and broken and lost and confused generation. The Samaritan woman, she had a personal encounter with Jesus, and she went back to her town, told everybody about her moment, and they believed in Jesus also. We are in a Kairos season right now where God is actually revealing his heart in very tangible ways. Very, very tangible ways. And it's imperative that we are aware of what the Lord is doing and that we are ready to receive and then release his power and his good news to the people around us. All right, so we're going to end this part with a short song. It's about 3 minutes. It should play up here. I hope we don't shut the live stream down. But before we play that, I want to say this. Give the Lord your full surrender this morning. If you feel led to come up front, come up front. If you need prayer, people will be up here, or they'll come meet you up here. If you choose to stay in your seats and respond to the Lord's invitation, it's totally fine. But I will say this, full surrender will sometimes make you uncomfortable. If there's anybody in this room who has never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you feel a stirring in your heart Please don't miss your moment. Please don't miss your moment. Come up front and let us pray with you. Jesus was waiting for the woman at the well. He was waiting for her. And there's an encounter with Jesus waiting for you as well, so that you can receive healing and forgiveness and grace and love and new identity as a child of God. Jesus sees you just like the song. He has not forsaken us, y'all. He has not forsaken us. He sees you. He knows you fully. There's no shame, no condemnation. He loves you completely, and he wants to meet with you today. Revelations 3:20 says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends." All right, so y'all listen to this song for a minute and respond how you feel led, and then I'll come up at the end.
I've been thinking about time and where does it go? How can I stop my life from passing me by? I don't know. I've been thinking about family, now it's going so fast. Will I wake up one morning just wishing that I could go back? I've been thinking about lately, maybe I can make a change and let it change me. So with all of my heart, this is my prayer. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open, 'cause I don't wanna miss what you have for me. Singing, oh Lord, show me what matters, but throw away what I'm chasing after, 'cause I don't wanna miss what you have. Just wanna stay where you are. All I got is one shot, one try, one go around in this beautiful life. Nothing is wasted when everything's placed in your hands. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open, 'cause I don't wanna miss what you have for me. You hold, so it's all eyes on you until the day you call me home. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open, 'cause I don't wanna miss what you have.
I wrote this prayer, so I'm going to just ask you to close your eyes. We're going to pray this out. Lord, we don't want to miss what you're doing or saying for ourselves, for our families, for our church, for our city, or our nation. Let our eyes be fixed on you and our hearts open to receive all that you have for us. Help us, Jesus, to speak boldly about your goodness and your love to the people around us. Jesus, forgive us for missing moments in the past. Forgive us for not responding to your presence or your invitation to join you. Forgive us for not fully living our lives in ways that honor you. Today, Jesus, we will be looking for you and trusting you with every detail of our lives. Set our hearts on fire for you. Make us fully aware of your Kairos moments. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Your encounters with Jesus and your healing will lead you to people who have not received the fullness of God's goodness yet. God's salvation and love comes to us and then it's released through us so that other people can be saved, healed, and delivered. Don't let your minutes, your very busy schedules, and your full calendars make you miss your Kairos moments this week. All right, that's all I have. I know it's short and fast today, but I do believe that God is stirring a word in each of you. And I believe that when you get home today, God is going to continue to speak stirring and doing something in your life. I believe it so strongly. This is only the beginning, and we need to be aware of the times and the seasons that we're living in. We need to be aware of the moments that God shows up and does something where he wants to use us, where he wants us to partner with him in the kingdom. So I love you guys. Pastor Paul will be back next week. And we'll be back. I don't know if we're doing Romans again next week or not, but Pastor Paul will be back. So we hope that y'all enjoy your week. I love you. I know that this is an awkward end, but it just is what it is today. Bye.